We live in a culture that says life should be all about me.
To be motivated by self and to seek self-glory is, at the end of the day, so exhausting. And I think that's what we're seeing. If it's all about you, if you have to decide who you are and who you're going to be and conjure up the energy to get there, and then once you are there, keep that hamster wheel spinning, when you were not made to be God, but in that situation, you are acting like God. You are your own God. You are your own deity, keeping your life going, worshiping yourself to keep it going. It is crushing.
And social media is not helping.
So we're scrolling social media at night when we get home and we're exhausted, and we're looking at everybody else's beautiful images of their very successful career, their beautiful family, their beautiful children, their beautiful vacations, and we're comparing ourselves to them, you know, our hard day to their highlight reel, and we're feeling incredibly disappointed in what life has delivered us.
This is Family Life Today. Our hosts are Dave and Ann Wilson. I'm Bob Lapine. You can find us online at familylifetoday.com. The culture keeps telling us life should be all about us. But as we'll hear from Jen Oshman today, if you buy into that perspective, you'll wind up exhausted and disappointed. Stay with us. And welcome to Family Life Today. Thanks for joining us. I think it was probably 10 years ago. I think I remember the first time I ever heard somebody use the phrase me time. I need some me time.
Oh, yes. That probably came from a mother.
It did come from a mother.
Yeah, of course, because we're longing for that.
and it struck me because I could relate. I mean, who doesn't need a little downtime, a little relaxation, some quiet, some alone time? But I thought, I'm not sure me time is really the best way to explain that. Mm-hmm. Today, we want to talk about being done with me, and Jen Oshman is here to help us talk about that. Jen, welcome to Family Life Today.
Thanks so much.
Jen is a pastor's wife who lives out on the Front Range, Parker, Colorado, and she and her husband were missionaries for years. They are parents of four daughters, and Jen has written a book called Enough About Me. Is this a memoir?
I'm in there for sure.
How did this whole idea begin to percolate and resonate with you?
Well, as you said, my husband and I were missionaries overseas for a long time, for about 15 years. And we ministered to American military in Japan, and we were church planters in the Czech Republic. So for about two decades now, I have been heavily involved in women's ministry, always teaching women's Bible study, always involved in discipleship, counseling relationships, and just really enjoying being a part of the lives and stories of women around the world. And I was seeing from overseas, you know, being an American but not living in America, I was seeing this trend, this movement, as you said, 10 years ago. Hearing me time for the first time, I was seeing this growing trend coming out of not just the United States, not just America, but also the church in America. And this growing movement, conferences, songs, Bible studies, books, all about focusing on yourself, focusing on who you are, how God made you, and what he's going to do in and through you. And now some of that is really pure and good and beautiful and biblical, but I did see it kind of going awry in this increasing focus on self rather than on our Savior. And it was very concerning to me. And as I saw it heightening and heightening, I said, Lord, if you would allow me, I would love to just speak into this conversation.
Jen, go into that a little bit more. What do you mean by how it can become dangerous? Give us an example of what that would even look like.
So in the book, I talk about it's crucial that you and I determine who we are and whose we are. So in order for me to really know myself, I need to know who my creator is. Who is the giver of life? Who is my maker? Who formed me? And for what purpose? And who is he? And what is he like? So if you and I are going to thrive, we have to go back to this very simple question. Who are we? And who do we belong to? How did he make us? And for what purpose? And I think in this moment, in 21st century United States, and it's in the West, it's throughout the wealthy West, it's not just the United States, but it's especially poignant here in the U.S. today. We want to just look within, determine ourselves who we are, create our own identity, and then conjure up the energy and the effort to get there. Mm. And it's all completely inward focused. And the reality is, it's really hurting us. Depression is on the rise, anxiety, stress, drinking, suicide, all of these things are manifesting themselves in teen girls and women. I know it's present in men as well, but I love women. I'm in women's ministry. But this inward looking, this inward seeking, this self-focus has really culminated to the point that we are really hurting ourselves with our self-focus. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to encourage women to lift your eyes up, to the God who made you. And there is where we will find some peace and some rest and some thriving.
And you had an experience with God in college.
True.
Tell us about that.
Yeah. So I opened the book with just sharing my own story. I went away to Indiana to college there, and I had grown up in a home with divorced parents and a home without the Lord. My mom, praise God, had taken me to church as a 9-year-old, and I'd heard the gospel. So there was some Christian influence in my life, which I'm so grateful for. Thankful to the Lord for doing that through my mom. But by and large, grew up in a setting that did not have a Christian influence in it. So my identity, my joy, my pride was all coming from academics, sports, activities, being a leader, being a go-getter, and just having an identity really fixated on what can I do? What dreams can I make happen? You know, I am a strong woman. I'm going to go get, I'm going to make this happen. Well, when I got to college and the sports were harder, the academics were harder, the social scene was harder, all of those places that I had placed my identity sort of fell away. They were just broken down. I was no longer successful in the ways that I had been before. And that was a gift of grace. Really, it was the Lord showing me, you are not enough, but I am. And cry out to me, seek me, and you will find me. And so as a freshman in college, I did. On my dorm room floor, literally, just brokenhearted, that the things that I thought I was built of, where I had put my identity, was really in a false place. Mm. And the Lord said, I will heal you. I will make you whole. But you have to surrender to me. You belong to me, and I treasure you.
So you discovered at that moment that everything you'd hoped for let you down.
Yep.
And you found Christ. In fact, you ask a question in the book, have you ever wanted something really bad, and then when you finally got it, it was underwhelming? Man, that's happened 1,000 times in my life, from little things to big things. It happened 2 nights ago. We fly into Little Rock to do radio this week, and the rental car that I had booked, they're closed. Literally, walk over there, they're gone for the day. I won't mention which rental car was open, but I walk over there, and he said, yeah, we can get you a car. So I walk up there, and I said, well, I guess I know never to book with so-and-so again. I'm booking with you, and he goes, and we're going to make sure we keep you. The next thing I know, I just get a compact, right? Most inexpensive you can get. I walk out to a Dodge Challenger. So I have it one day. We go out to dinner last night, and we come out, and somebody dinged the door. And immediately I'm like, now I'm mad at the car. Why do we have this car? I don't want this nice car. I got to park it. And again, that is life. Mm-hmm. You know, it was such a joy for a moment. I've never had a Dodge Challenger. And now every time I look at it, I'm like, this car stinks, you know? I felt that about our marriage.
That's what I was going to say.
Felt that about our career. I mean, everything has in some way never lived up.
I was on a business trip to Florida. This was many years ago, and the trip ended early. I had an extra day in Orlando, and I had a free pass to Disney. Hmm. And I thought, this is going to be the greatest day because I can ride where I want to ride. I can do what I want to do. When they say, any singles, I'll get to the front of the line. It's just me on my own at Disney. And I remember riding a ride and getting off and going, that was awesome, and looking around for somebody to talk to about how awesome it was. And it all of a sudden was the most miserable day of my life to be at an amusement park with no one to share it with. Yeah. And so that was, yeah, I thought this was going to be great because it was all about me.
Yeah.
And it wasn't so great.
Well, the interesting thing, Jen, you say in your book is you've seen this over and over and over with women.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
Talk about that a little bit. I mean, what is it? I mean, it's not unique to women, obviously.
Right.
But you've seen it probably, like I said, 1,000 mm-hmm. times, well, right? In women's ministry, they're just let down by what they thought would give them life.
You
right.
even say that women are having a new midlife crisis. Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
That's true. So my generation, we were raised in the height of the self-esteem movement. I mean, I was literally in classrooms where I was singing songs, doing worksheets, parts of programs and plays, where we were telling each other and telling ourselves, I can handle it. Whatever I dream, I can achieve. Reach for the stars. Whatever it is you want, go get them. And it was also on the heels of Title IX in terms of girls getting equal funding for sports and other activities. And so, and that's a great thing. I celebrate that. I'm not talking negatively about that at all. That created an atmosphere, I think maybe especially for girls, that said, anything the boys can do, we can do better. You know, you can dream it and you can achieve it. That was what we were hearing on a daily basis from our parents, from our teachers, from our coaches, from telling each other that. And we fully believed it. So we grew up, we went to college, and we entered the workforce, or we entered volunteer force, or whatever it is that each woman is a part of now. And we're all having that moment, that Disney World moment of like, this is not as great as I thought it was going to be. Mm-hmm. This is actually a huge letdown. Because what's happened is we've put all of our hope in ourselves. Also, not only is it the age of self, it's the age of social media. So we're scrolling social media at night when we get home and we're exhausted, and we're looking at everybody else's beautiful images of their very successful career, their beautiful family, their beautiful children, their beautiful vacations, and we're comparing ourselves to them, you know, our hard day to their highlight reel, and we're feeling incredibly disappointed in what life has delivered us. And even those of us who have achieved what we wanted to achieve, realizing this does not deliver. This is not the high, the peace, the joy, the satisfaction that I thought I was going to achieve at this moment. It's actually hollow.
Hmm. And in some ways, and you say this in the book, that's a gift.
It's a gift.
I mean, in the moment, doesn't feel like a gift. I mean, I literally just thought of a college playing quarterback, win a conference championship at Northern Illinois in the shower after the game. I mean, that's your whole goal as a college athlete, win a conference championship. We won it. I'm in the shower less than an hour later, not a Christian, head under the, a lot of hair, by the way, head under the shower head and thinking, this is it?
Right.
It's so hollow. Mm-hmm. I thought this was, and an hour before, on the field cheering, and I knew right then, this can't be what life's about. And it pointed me to finally following Christ. So that moment in our lives, which is so disappointing, is actually a gift, right?
Yes. I mean, it's just the beginning. It is when we realize that we are frail and finite, that we are sinners separated far away from God, that we were made by him, for him, through him, to him, and yet we are separate from him. And it's when we run out of steam, when we run out of the fuel of self, which was not meant to drive us in the first place. And it's that moment on the floor, them, and they'll have a relationship with him.
You're a mother raising four daughters.
Correct, right? Yes.
And I'm thinking of moms who are raising daughters and want their daughters to be strong, confident, capable young women.
Yes.
And the culture is reinforcing that message. What you heard, you can be whoever you want to be, whatever you want to be. And there's a truth to that that you want to emphasize. Yet alongside of that is, and it needs to be all about you, how do you navigate those messages so that your daughters learn what it means to be strong, capable, competent women who are excelling in who God made them to be and yet not have it be all about them?
Yeah, it's a good question. And this book did largely come out of trying to raise women who I want them to know that they are strong and that they are able. But why is that? Who are they and whose are they? They are strong and able and capable because of the God who made them. And I just want to be rehearsing that truth to them over and over and over. Great job on that test. Great job on the field. Look at how the Lord has designed you. Look what he gave you. Look at the opportunities he gave you. Let's steward them well for his glory and for your good.
So that's how you're talking to your four daughters.
That's how I talk to them. And I know maybe it sounds a little bit strange. It's like a big kind of worldview shift inside your home. But rather than saying, I am so proud of you, I follow that up with, look at how the Lord made you. Look what he's done for you. Look at the resources he's given us. How can we as a family steward these opportunities so that God's name is known and so that what you do glorifies him? Because that's going to be for their good, because that's how we were made. We were made by him, for him, through him, to him, as Colossians chapter 1 says.
So. One of the key themes in the Art of Parenting video series that Family Life put together is the theme of identity, helping your children understand their identity. And we really focus in on Ephesians 2:10. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And that's so in line with what you're talking about. When a child succeeds at something, has an accomplishment, does well, to be able to say, this has to be one of the things that God prepared beforehand for you to walk in. Look at how you're living out his purpose and plan for your life, so that they begin thinking not, what do I want my life to be all about, but what does God want my life to be all about?
Right. And it's easy to slip off of that a little bit. Mm. When our church started, I started our women's ministry at the church, and it was really going well. It was exciting. I've had so many surrender moments of Jesus, but this kind of was in my wheelhouse. And I'm an achiever anyway. And so at the end of this ministry year, we sat around with all the women leaders. And I said, let's go around and kind of just, let's just give character attributes and kind of new names. Like, okay, Jane, you have been amazing this year. Let's kind of tell Jane what her strengths and gifts are, how we've seen God use her this year. Mm. And so somebody say, your name is Grace. You give people grace. You surround yourself with Jesus all the time. And so each woman had this name, you know, that was so beautiful. And so it was my turn. And I was like, let's not even do me. But they're like, no, 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 let's do you, Anne. And so I was getting ready, like, oh, this is going to be, God's going to fill me up. This is going to be amazing. And they looked at me, and this one older woman who I really respected, she said, you know what you are, Anne? Your name is the Energizer Bunny. And they all laughed, and they're like, yeah, she is the Energizer Bunny. And I was like, ooh, that's not a great name. And as I drove home after that meeting, I started to think, why would I get that name? Because I am a driver. I can drive hard. And the next morning, I was getting ready. I was putting some makeup on in the mirror, and I felt this little whisper in my mind of, your name is Striving. And I kind of stopped myself for a second, and I thought, what? What was that? And I felt God just kind of whisper into my spirit, you've been striving so hard to achieve that you've kind of left me and lost me a little bit along the way. Because all the things we were doing were for Jesus. But that kind of feeds the identity of what you do and what you accomplish and even women you can bring to Christ. And I realized at that moment, I was in a moment of repentance, like, Lord, you're right. I've taken my eyes off of you. I've been relishing the praise of people and what God is doing, but it's kind of become all about me all of a sudden. And I ended up thinking, Lord, what could it look like for me to get back on track? And I ended up carving part of a day of saying, I'm going to give an entire morning when the kids are at school. I'm going to be with you from 9 to noon, which may not sound too like too much time, but as a mom, a busy mom, that was a significant amount of time. And all I did was I was in the Word, I was praying, I was worshiping, and it got me back on track. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. Yes, I do.
So you were having me time, is what you're saying?
I was having He time.
Yes.
God time. Because it was all about me. I switched it back. And do you think it's easy for us to kind of fall off?
Yeah. I mean, I hear myself in that story on a daily basis. I mean, daily tasks like you. I'm a, you know, goal oriented. I want to get things done. And I think I, you know, before 10 a.m. every day, I'm already having to repent from being self-driven rather than God, you know, driven by the Lord. But they can look really similar, right? It's the heart. It's the heart behind it. What is the motive of our heart? What is the posture of our heart in the pursuit of these good things? Because we should be using our time well. We should be going for it. We should be leaving it all on the field in the name of Jesus, for His name, for His glory, for His kingdom. But that activity can look very similar to the activity of Jen Oshman trying to build her own little kingdom, right? And so we just have to be real before the Lord and say, show me, reveal to me these places in my heart. Reveal to me what is really driving it. What is my motive? Because to be motivated by self and to seek self-glory is at the end of the day so exhausting. And I think that's what we're seeing. If it's all about you, if you have to decide who you are and who you're going to be and conjure up the energy to get there, and then once you are there, keep that hamster wheel spinning, when you were not made to be God, but in that situation, you are acting like God. You are your own God. You are your own deity, keeping your life going, worshiping yourself to keep it going. It is crushing.
And yet there's this nuance I'm hearing. Tell me if I'm hearing this right. You said earlier, if I'm trying to figure out my identity, often we look inside. You know, who am I? And sometimes we find greatness, like, hey, I am strong. I am courageous as a man or a woman. But there is this nuance that if I want to understand my identity, I need to look up. And yet in looking up, I can understand who I am. In a different way. It's a totally different way to understand. I've said many times, if anybody's at my church, they've heard me preach this probably too many times, but I always say every decision you make every single day is based on two beliefs, I think. Belief about God, theology, belief about myself, identity. And if you don't understand who God is and you don't understand who you are, you're going to make some really bad decisions based out of fear. But if I look to God and understand who He is, to understand who I am as a child of Him, that's a great way to find identity, right? It's different than looking here, but if I find it here, I mean, one of the songs I love, tell me if you like this, because it's a worship song that could be self-focused, but I think if you understand it in the right way, here, I'll do it.
Let's hear it.
He loves getting the guitar out.
Not the whole thing, but I know we've all heard this line. I'm no longer a slave of fear. Now, that sounds pretty self-aware. I am a child of God. I mean, that is a song I have wept singing and leading our congregation in. But it's because I think it helps me go, wait, I've been making so many decisions out of fear. I'm timid. I'm afraid because I've forgotten my identity, not because I'm great. Mm-hmm. He's great, mm-hmm. but I'm his child. And so I can walk in, a woman can walk in, a man can walk in a room with confidence, almost like I own this room because the Holy Spirit walked in this room with me. I don't need to be afraid. I can make decisions. I can lead my family. So is that nuance true in terms of identity is good if it's understood vertically, mm-hmm. but it could be bad if it's only understood horizontally. Yeah. I don't want to put words in your mouth.
No, I think you've nailed it. I totally agree with you. Because in the first scenario where you're only looking within, then you have to be your own God. And that does drive fear, so much fear. I mean, we're paralyzed with decisions that we have to make, with what we're going to do with our weekend and our future and our retirement. It's paralyzing when we are self-reliant because we are all we've got.
Yeah.
But we were not designed to be that way. So the reason you don't have fear, as the song says, the reason you can cast out fear is because you are in Christ and Christ is in you. We are abiding in the Lord. We can do all things through him, right? As we are abiding in him. Apart from him, we can do nothing.
And I'm thinking about the verse that teaches us that we are to do our work heartily. Mm. So be achievers. Go for it. Work hard. Exert yourself. As unto the Lord.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's the thing that's different than the achiever who is achieving for self, mm-hmm. for his own glory or for his own joy, and the one who is saying, I'm doing this because this is who God made me to be, and I want it to be as unto him. And this is where I think all of us need this correction. I know a lot of women have gotten this book and gone through it in a women's study, in a small group study. This is a book for mom to do with daughters.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And wouldn't hurt for dads to do it with sons either.
Oh, for sure.
Go to familylifetoday.com to order a copy of Jen Oshman's book, Enough About Me, Finding Lasting Joy in the Age of Self. Again, our website is familylifetoday.com. You can also order the book by calling 1-800-FL-TODAY. Again, the title of the book is Enough About Me, Finding Lasting Joy in the Age of Self by Jen Oshman. Order online at familylifetoday.com or order by calling 1-800-358-6329. That's 1-800 F as in family, L as in life, and then the word today. By the way, Family Life has just developed a brand new Family Life Today app where you can listen easily to Family Life Today on your smartphone or on your tablet, your device. You can go to familylifetoday.com for more information about how to download the app or just look for Family Life as one word in the App Store and download our new Family Life app so you can listen to Family Life Today whenever you'd like. Again, there's information available about the app online at familylifetoday.com or just go to your App Store to download it. And we want to say a quick word of thanks to those of you who make things like the app and our website and this program and all that we do at Family Life possible. Those of you who support the ministry financially. Family Life Today is listener supported. Your donations have made today's program possible, really makes everything that happens at Family Life possible. If you're able to help with a donation today, we'd like to say thank you by sending you a couple of books that will help you love your spouse better. We had a chance earlier this year to talk to Matt and Lisa Jacobson about how we can express love to one another in marriage more effectively. They've written a couple of books, 100 Ways to Love Your Wife, 100 Ways to Love Your Husband. We'd like to send you those books as our way of saying thank you for your support of this ministry. Family Life exists to help strengthen marriages and families, and these books are tools to help that happen in your home. You can donate easily online at familylifetoday.com, or you can call 1-800-FL-TODAY to donate. Thanks in advance for whatever you're able to do. We look forward to hearing from you. Now, tomorrow, we're going to continue talking about this whole idea of turning away from a self-orientation in our lives. The culture keeps pointing us back to that. How do we combat those cultural messages and follow Jesus? We'll talk more with Jen Oshman about that tomorrow. Hope you can join us for that. I want to thank our engineer today, Keith Lynch, along with our entire broadcast production team. On behalf of our hosts, Dave and Ann Wilson, I'm Bob Lapine. We'll see you back next time for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a production of Family Life of Little Rock, Arkansas, a Crew ministry. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.